Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to Living Fellowship. Are you excited today? You should be. God's doing some great things in our midst, and all of you are welcome to partake in the great things of God. I think we're going to get right into the Word of the Lord this morning. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 10. We're going to do a little bit of review real quick from last week and also cover some things I covered on Wednesday night Bible study at our home. Well worthy to mention again, and we want it to be on the recording here today, so we're going to go ahead and do that. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, let's read verse 12 and 13, if you would. Now, Paul speaking says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." That scripture right there, I don't know how many of you know this, is a scripture that they use in the 12-step program, a faith-based 12-step program, which I taught and led over 25 years ago. They use this scripture, have people shaking their head that understand that, in the teachings of the 12 steps. We're going to use it in a little different context here today, going along with verse 13. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." Amen? God is faithful. Amazing. It says, "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Now, real quick, we're going to show you what the temptation is that's common to man. We'll read it. We'll show you how it works in Scripture, both with Adam and Jesus. We mentioned this last week, and we'll turn there next in 1 John, the second chapter. It tells us that all that's in the world, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So before we do that, though, I also want to show you, it says, "God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape." We're going to show you what that is. God is faithful. You'll see that it's God that leads you in temptation. You say, "Wait a minute, what about the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Doesn't it say in that prayer to pray, "Lead us not into temptation"? So how does that work? Because when we look in the scriptures, in both Luke the 4th chapter and Matthew the 4th chapter, it tells us that Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Could it possibly be a timing that you are praying, "God, don't lead me into temptation until I'm ready"? Because the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. God allowed the serpent in the beginning to tempt Adam and Eve. And we read the scripture, it says, to take heed lest you fall. We know that Adam did fall, didn't he? The reason is because he didn't take heed to the way that God gave him of escape. The way to escape, God gives you before he leads you into the wilderness. We'll see this. With Adam and Eve, God gave Adam the word of the Lord. He told him to go, multiply, replenish the earth, have dominion over all the fish of the sea, over everything, all the fowls of the air, everything that creepeth upon the earth. He gave him power and dominion. He told him who he was, just like Jesus. Before Jesus was led in the wilderness, after he was baptized of John, a voice comes from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So we're going to see how you get tempted and fall, or you get tempted and overcome. One puts you in sin and brings sin into the world. The other one brings righteousness. You see, by one man's sin, by one man's disobedience, sin entered the world. But by one man's obedience shall many be made righteous. So we'll draw a contrast between two sons of God. One named Adam and one named Jesus. And it's going to be good here today. Are you ready? Back to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to men. And notice that. We're going to read, again, I'll mention, and we'll go there next. It says, all that's in the world, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Have you ever received something not from God being in the world? We have, haven't we? Well, you're going to learn here today how to never do that again, how to be an overcomer. And the only way that we can have eternal life is because of what Jesus has done for us. No one else could do it. There's no other way. There's no other truth. There's no other life. There's no way unto the Father but by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? And he died for each and every one of us. He overcame in the wilderness for each and every one of us. He did not take on something of the world, but he believed his Father. He believed what his Father said about him. And also notice this, the way of escape is the word God gives you before he leads you into temptation. God told Adam who he was. He gave him dominion. But what did Adam do? He chose to believe. His wife gave him the fruit after God told him. And the Lord God commanded the man, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. This is Genesis 2. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat thereof. For in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Was Adam deceived into choosing death over life? Carrie said, yeah. Anybody else say, yeah? Scripture says Adam was not deceived, being found in the transgression. His wife, the weakest aspect of his soul, was deceived. Did Adam eat the fruit because his wife had broke the commandment and she was going to die and because he loved her? Is Adam a type of Jesus Christ? As a matter of fact, watch this. It says, there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. In Paul's writings, in the resurrection chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, God calls Adam the first man of the earth, earthy. That's what it says. You know what God calls Jesus? The second Adam. Calls him the last man. So what you're going to see here is there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. Starting with Adam, same temptation. Going into the life of Jesus, same temptation. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life with two total different outcomes. So after we go to 1 John 2, we're going to go over to Genesis, the third chapter, and we're going to read these things. Is that okay? Notice also, Israel was led into the wilderness all to be tempted of the devil. You say, well, I don't see where they were tempted of the devil. Then you go back and read, because they continually were tempted, and then they took what they learned about being tempted and what they learned in Egypt under the control and tyranny of Pharaoh, a type of Satan, and the Bible says they tempted God. Now, God didn't succumb to their temptations, did he? But did they tempt God? How many of you thought about what I taught last week and you were able to apply to yourself where you've been tempted with lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life? Because we're going to cover that here today. As a matter of fact, we got a lot to cover, so I better get right into it. God showed Adam who he was. He gave him a word, Daryl. He gave him power and dominion over all flesh. Over every beast of the field, over every fowl of the air. And Adam did choose to be a servant of sin. Now, I said to you earlier, how many of you received something of the world that's not of God before? When Adam sinned, the Bible says he hid himself because he was afraid. Paul tells us that God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. as in all the churches. Do you realize that the serpent talks to you? He tried this with Jesus. It didn't work. The serpent talks to you and tempts you so you will serve him. He's looking to be your God with a small g, because there's only one capital G God. Hear ye, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. But his whole intent is to become your God. When you listen to him and you succumb to his temptations, you take on a thing called the spirit of fear. Now that spirit of fear dictates your life and controls you and leads you and guides you. Do you realize if you are the servant of sin, that you are serving the devil? Right? Paul said in Romans 6, but God be thanked, ye were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Are you telling me that Adam's disobedience brought sin, but his obedience also brings righteousness and the overcoming of sin? Absolutely, 100%. So I want to say this again. Everybody online, listen to me. Oh, I forgot to say we're so privileged and happy to have Julie Harrison and her son Jacob here with us today. All of you, we're very privileged that you're here hearing the word. Well, I got Gracie on the phone with us and everybody online here today. Thank you for coming. God bless you, Julie. So if you succumb to these temptations, such as is common to man, it's more than just sinning. Now you're serving another God. Now the devil has become your master. Say, what? How can that be? Notice it, and I guarantee you everybody has experienced this at least once in your lifetime, where you have taken a thought that brings a fear to you that is not from God. I'm talking about the fear that John talks about in his epistle in 1 John, a fear that the scripture says, he that feareth is not yet made perfect in love, because fear hath torment. Are you with me here today? That devil talks to you so he can put a spirit on you, a spirit of fear that will dictate and control your life. But you know what the good news is? It's the gospel. The good news is the only fear you should ever have in your life is the fear of the Lord, which tells us is clean. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of understanding, and it's clean. It doesn't torment you. You reverence God. You believe God. Julie, you trust God in the fear of the Lord. But that devil's a mocker. In heaven, listen to me very closely. In heaven, there's only one fear, and it's the fear of the Lord, and it is clean. You cannot get into heaven fearing in an unclean fear. Book of Revelation tells you that. The fearful, dogs, whoremongers, all this is without. So what are we doing here today? We're learning how to serve God. We're learning how to be led by the Spirit of God and not another spirit. We're learning how to glorify Jesus. How many of you enjoyed that message Pastor Dan taught when he was here? That the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. When you glorify the Lord, God is happy and pleased to give you the Holy Ghost. Man, that should be exciting, because that's our promise. With Israel, when they were led into the Spirit, and they were led by the Spirit of God, there was an angel in a pillar of fire and a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God said, listen closely, obey his voice. Listen to him. My word's in him. Follow his voice. Listen to that angel. And he will bring you through the wilderness to the promised land. How many of you perceive that there are elders in your midst that speak to you as the Spirit of God, as the angel of the Lord? So has God given you everything you need to be successful? He sure has. Is God leading you out of Egypt, delivering you from Egypt into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, not to fall, but to overcome? You know, it's really simple. In 1 John 5, It says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So God gives you faith before he allows the devil to tempt you. Did not God, and we mentioned this last week, did not God testify of his man Job that he was perfect, an upright man, one that feared God, not walked in the spirit of fear, one that feared God and escheweth evil. He shunned evil away from him. Did God allow Satan to touch his flesh, to take all his wealth away from him? But he didn't allow him to kill him, did he? He said, you can touch him. You can have what you've asked for, only save his life. Because God knew, I've already testified of him. I know who he is. He's a perfect man. And he's going to come out greater afterwards, after I let you touch him. You should be encouraged here today. How many of you have ever had that devil up in your face talking to you and trying to tempt you? And you know where he's really supposed to be? Under your foot. I've seen him there, and the Lord told me, not only does he not have power, he never did. So when the devil raises his head, no, Bryce, this is the will of God. God's already prepared me. In other words, he's got this. He's already given me a word. He's already showed me who I am. I have everything I need to overcome all that's in the world, to overcome this tempter. You know where it starts? Loving truth. We talked about this at the beginning of the year. Love truth. Walk in truth. Believe God. Julie, trust God. Just the fact that Miss Harrison is here with us is a great manifestation of trusting God. And she knows exactly what I'm talking about. She almost didn't get to come. Co-worker had been exposed to COVID. And if she had it, she's the only other one that could do Julie's job. I really thought, she's just going to take a way out. She ain't coming. Julie called me, said she tested negative. The Harrisons are on their way. Or as Brianna would say, the Garrisons. Brianna changed their name since they've been here. And you say, well, you know, how big is that? Julie, you testify. How big is that? That you would step out and believe God and trust God. Julie, you have believed and trusted God more lately than I've ever seen you in my whole entire life. And you know, when I moved to Chicago, Julie was already in the church. She was already there. We've been friends a very long time. And God's done some great things in her life, just like he has all of you here. We need to testify of these things, Julie. We need to tell people and testify the awesomeness of God and exhort them. As he's done it for me, he's going to do it for you. I better get back into this word here. Let me see. Okay, so the temptation such as common to man, we're going to go to 1 John, 2nd chapter, 13th verse. The way of escape is God tells you, he gives you a word, Daryl. He tells you who you are. He gives you power. Remember the disciples? He said, I give you power over scorpions and serpents. I give you power over all the power of the enemy. God did that in the beginning. So then why did Adam fall? Is it possible, as an example, to teach you and I, the rest of God's family, how this works? To show us what's in the world? Was he willing to be a vessel of dishonor, Bryce, and be disobedient to God so you and I could learn today from Adam, both first and last? That's how good God is. That's love. Jennifer said it. That's the love of God right there. That he would allow his son to fall, to be tempted, to fall, but to have a testimony of, I have overcome. How many of you can own that here today? Come on. I'm preaching to you right now. Hear this word. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that do believe. God's saving you with this right here, right now. The way of escape is the word God gives you. How important is it to have a word from God? It's everything. You do not want to face the devil without a word from God. You say, well, you're glorifying the devil. No, I'm being sober-minded, and I'm sharing a very sober thought with you here today. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. The only reason we overcome and the only reason we have eternal life is because of Jesus Christ, Rex. And that's it. It's that simple. So thank God. 1 John 2, verse 13. Let me see. Actually, let me look here. I'm in the wrong book. Let me get the right book. I knew that didn't look right. 1 John, 2nd chapter, and verse. We're actually going to read verse 15. Now, Paul just got through exhorting the fathers, the young men, and the little ones. He was encouraging them that they've known God from the beginning, that they've overcome the wicked one. You can go read it for yourself. He just got through exhorting the family of God. And he says in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Did you realize that there's only enough love in your heart for one? You're either going to love God or you're going to love another. Or you're going to love something else. But if you love God first, does that love flow over and go to everything else in your life? Absolutely. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. I want to point something out to you and listen to me very closely. That second word in this verse, for all. Look at the word all. All that's in the world. You mean these three temptations are all that's in the world? Absolutely. This is what's common to man. These are the temptations such as common to man. He said, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The devil comes to tempt you, so you will take on his nature, the nature of sin, the nature of deceit, the nature of a seducer, a liar. So you will take on his nature and perish. That's what he's doing. But good news, you don't have to. You can take on the divine nature of God and have power and dominion over all. You believe me here today? You need to. You're going to trust what I'm saying is true here today? You need to. Because I'm only telling you what God has said and is saying to you right now. Go with me to Genesis. We'll reference this more. Genesis, the third chapter. Now, you can go back and read the first chapter. God made man in his image after his likeness. Gave him dominion. Gave him power. Told him to go replenish the earth, multiply, subdue, have dominion. Told him all those awesome things. Second chapter of the book of Genesis. God blessed man. He formed him from the dust of the earth. He gave him a commandment. He saw that it wasn't good that the man should be alone, so he created him a helpmeet, which a lot of people don't know this. Eve's not the helpmeet. The deep sleep God put Adam in is the helpmeet. He preserved him in a world, in a sleep, where he was going to allow the serpent to tempt him. Not so he would fall, but so he would overcome. They say, well, he fell. Yeah, but in Jesus, he overcame. Let's don't stop halfway through the story. Let's read the whole story here. Yeah, he fell, but God prepared a way named Jesus Christ. So have you ever fallen? I have too. You know what the good news is? A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. It's not a shame to fall. Not fun all the time. But God's got it. He's okay. God understands sin. He understands all of it. And he's there to give you a way of escape. Where was I at? Chapter 3. Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, hold on a second. Why was the serpent there? To tempt? But read it. Look what it said. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said, he was there to talk. I've seen him. He never shuts up. Talks more than anybody you've ever seen your whole entire life. Never shuts up. He was there to talk. Through his talking, through his words, Bryce, comes temptation. And the woman said unto the serpent, so he asked her a question. He wants to converse. Let's have a conversation here. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. And here comes the lie. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Look how in simplicity. God said, you do it, you die. The serpent said, you do it, you will not die. He adds one word to the truth and changes it to a lie. That simple, folks. It's that subtle. Adds one word to the truth, changes it to a lie, and begins the seduction, the deception here. Verse 5, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Did you hear this? He's talking to her, and he's saying to her. Have you ever looked at it like this before? He's saying to her, I'm a mediator for God. Listen to me. I'm a mediator for God. I'm here to tell you what God said. I'm here to interpret for you. I'm here to show you who God is. I'm going to interpret God for you. I'm going to tell you what he said. Sneaky, huh?
I'm like a lot of preachers I know. Uh-oh.
Be nice, Brian. Verse 6. Here we go. Are you ready? And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. What's the temptation such as common to man? This is the first man, isn't it? Adam and Eve. Lust of the flesh, right, Carrie? Then your eyes, oh, I'm sorry, that was verse 5, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and here it comes, folks. And a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took. Hang on. What does a thief do? Is she already taking on his nature? Does a thief come to steal, kill, and destroy? She listened to his words and is taking on his nature. Are you with me here today? You listen to the devil long enough, guess who you're going to start acting like? This is why Israel was in Egyptian bondage for 400 years. And when God talked to them and wanted to take them out, Daryl, and let them talk to him face to face, they wanted to go back. What'd they want back in Egypt? Lust of the flesh? Did they like the leeks and the onions? Huh? You go look at it. I promise you, you study the life of Israel. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. It was the temptation that is common to man that overtook them. You want to hear the pride of life? Are you able to do this, God? Is that what they said? Are you able to furnish a table for us in the wilderness? Are you able to feed us? Are you able to give us water? Are you sure you can do what you've said you're going to do for me? Anybody ever take these thoughts? Devil's been talking to you. An enemy's been talking to you. Come on. God, are you able to do it? What did Caleb and Joshua say? He's well able. Yeah, we've seen the giants in the land. He's well able. What'd the rest of them say? Yeah, everything you said is true, God. Nevertheless. Come on. Nevertheless, I've been talking to a serpent. And he told me about you. He interpreted for me who you are. I'm speaking some good things here today. Listen to me closely. And I'm just about done because I am not going to rush this. And I am only about a fourth through what I need to say here this morning. Are you able to do it, Walker? Oh, man. There's some good stuff here. Let me put an application for each and every one of us here real quick. Because this may be more than a three-part series this time. for yourself. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. We can see it in everyday life, how we're tempted by things like that, right? But what about spiritually? Have you applied it spiritually? Have you thought about it spiritually? In other words, within you, how it works in the spirit? You know, Paul talks about being nourished up in the word of faith. Has the serpent ever deceived you and told you God hasn't given you anything? God is not talking to you right now. Think about what I'm saying. He hasn't given you the nourishment, the lust of the flesh, the food you need to nourish you spiritually. That's funny, because I read, actually it's in where we started, 1 Corinthians 10. There was a rock that followed Israel, whose name was Christ, who brought forth water. God rained down manna from heaven, gave them food. But they wanted more, didn't they? Be careful with your temptation. So lust of the flesh, you're nourished up in words of faith, Daryl. What about lust of the eyes? Hey, I'm not seeing what Rick's seeing. I'm not seeing what Brian's seeing or the other elders. I want a dream. Come on. I want God to give me dreams like them. Huh? Lust of the eyes. And then what about pride of life? Eve saw that the tree was good for food. No, she saw the tree as one that would make one wise. But what did God say? You're going to die. You eat of the tree, you're going to die. It's the knowledge of good and evil. There's no wisdom. There's no understanding in it. It's just knowledge. The scripture tells that we all have knowledge, but knowledge puffeth up. Is that the pride that we're talking about? Can even the very scriptures themselves puff you up in a knowledge to begin to interpret what God says without the Spirit of God doing it? That is arrogant. If God has not given you the interpretation and you're saying this is what it means, that is arrogant. That is pride. How do you overcome it? Just believe God and wait. Be patient. Let God do the work, Diane. Let God do it, and then it'll be clean. See, God resists the proud, but he giveth more grace to the humble. If you're willing to wait on the Lord and not take a serpent's interpretation, God will be faithful. We read it in the beginning. God told you that. If you will be patient, see, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Is that lust? So patience helps you to overcome all that's in the world, the temptation such as common to man. Man, there is so much good stuff to speak here today. But we're going to stop here for now. We'll come back next week. We've covered Adam and Eve pretty good. We've talked about it. As we talked about Job, guess who we're going to talk about next week? The same individual we talk about every week, Jesus Christ. If you want to read it, look at the book of Luke, the fourth chapter. You'll see the same testimony in Matthew 4. The only difference is in Matthew, you want to read the third chapter also, where God tells his son who he is before he leads him into temptation. Notice also when you read, God did promote the temptation. He did allow his son to be tempted. But he also endued him with power from upon high when he came out of that wilderness. God's not looking for you to lose here. God's not looking for your demise. God's here for us to be an overcomer, to walk in the testimony. See, we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Man, there's some good stuff. So we're going to talk about Jesus next week. Julie, you make sure to listen to this recording, okay, for at least the next couple weeks. Any questions before we go? Any comments? Tristan.